We're talking about reporting that delves deeply into the vastly underreported First Nations of Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. 12 sovereign tribal nations exist within the boundaries of the land we call Wisconsin. A journalist on a three-year assignment in Green Bay is covering Native American news, working to bring Native affairs to the forefront. What do you think about the way Indigenous communities are portrayed in the media here in Wisconsin and beyond? Where do you turn to for information about what's happening within tribal nations? It's 800-642-1234. Frank Vasvilas is Native American Affairs reporter for the Green Bay Gazette. He's a member of the Yaqui Indigenous People of Mexico, and his beat is funded by Report for America, a national service program focused on undercovered issues and communities. Frank, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Welcome.
Good morning to you. And I'm wondering, how do you think the lack of media coverage of Native communities affects how people understand them?
I do feel it's, it's vastly important to gain trust with Indigenous nations, and it's very important for non-Indigenous people just to understand just the certain nuances such as jurisdiction and reservations, and there's a lot of stereotypes out there, but Indigenous nations do have their own tribal laws, building laws, code laws. I know the city of Green Bay just recognized that this year with an agreement with Oneida Nation. It's just vastly important just to understand, just all the nuances and the importance of sovereignty for Indigenous nations.
I wonder if this beat that you've been on has made you think differently about how you view your own family story, your own personal Native culture and heritage.
Sure, of course, definitely. I know through forced assimilation throughout generations, throughout the last 100 years, and a lot of Indigenous people are on a journey of rediscovery, of rediscovering their heritage and their ancestors. And I feel like my family is doing the same as well. My family were refugees of the Mexican Revolution, and they were kind of forced into the United. They're refugees into the United States, and during the 50s and 60s, with the prejudice, and they were forced to just speak English and unlearn their native language and a lot of their culture. And I feel like in the past 20, 30 years or so, a lot of Indigenous people have been trying to rediscover, what was taken. And I think we're all on that journey together.
You mentioned Native American languages, and you've explored how tribes are working to preserve their languages, which have been threatened after centuries of forced assimilation. What tribal nations are taking steps to preserve and revive their languages?
Well, pretty much all of them in Wisconsin, the whole chunk, Oneida, Menominee, and Ojibwe, the Ojibwe nations in northern Wisconsin. And it's also important to understand that this is not, simply replacing words, Indigenous words for English words, but understanding language is also, critical to understanding, a people's culture and the worldview and how to think. This, for example, in Indigenous language, it's verbs before nouns, and, it's more emphasis on the action and less emphasis on the individual, and also more on we and us. For example, something might be translated, instead of I love you, it's you are loved by me. And then there's also importance of understanding the symbiosis with nature, such as with the Three Sisters Garden, the corn, the beans, and the squash, and work together and, to keep, certain pests out and how they help each other grow. And humans are part of that symbiosis too. We're part of nature, not separate, as the Western worldview has this try to believe, but it kind of incorporates us into that whole, symbiotic relationship with nature. So that's important.
That Mother Nature connection. We're talking with Frank Vasvilas, who covers Native American issues in Wisconsin for the Green Bay Press Gazette. We're exploring his reporting. You can join in. What issues affecting Native Americans do you think reporters should be uncovering? Where do you get information about what's happening within Wisconsin's tribal nations? 800-642-1234 to join in. Frank, how close are we to losing some of these Native American languages?
Well, in our neighbors to the north, Canadian and indigenous languages, there's, such as Ojibwe, there's, I believe that there is 10,000 native speakers left, whereas in Wisconsin, there might be like 12 or just a couple on each reservation. And native, these are people who have spoken the language. They were taught it as a first language when they were very young. Mm-hmm. But there's been a lot of effort to revitalize that, such as immersion programs in Oneida and other reservations where toddlers are taught the language as a first language. So there's a lot of, work being done, a lot of, progress being made in that direction. So there's a lot of hope, I think, but, many educators believe it might be, 20, 30 years before we really start to see a difference.
Really start to see a difference in getting those native languages revived and more people speaking with them. But I could imagine that it's young people connecting with elders who know the languages and making sure that they have a lot of time together.
Right, sure. It is important to connect with the elders, and been a struggle. I would say that what educators are telling me to get young people to see the relevance or to see the importance of learning the their ancestors' language. So it's been a lot of public relations, I think, within tribes to kind of show them the importance of, trying to understand, how this is not just replacing words, but important to understanding what it is to be indigenous and how it affects the worldview. So I think that is still being put there.
We're having some connections issues here. We're talking with Frank Vace-Villas, who covers Native American issues in Wisconsin at the Green Bay Press Gazette. What issues affecting First Nations do you think journalists should be paying attention to and covering more often? Are you a member of an Indigenous community? Do you trust media reports? Are you reluctant to talk with reporters? Join in with your perspective, your experience, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Frank Vace-Villas here on the Ideas Network. We are exploring the Native American Issues Beat at the Green Bay Press Gazette here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Perhaps a story in recent days about the Bucks caught your attention, reported widely. The Bucks basketball court floor is made from sustainably harvested lumber from the Menominee Forest, and the traditional blessing and prayers is the deeper story here. It's one example of reporting by Frank Vace-Villas, who covers Native American issues. You can join in with your observations and experiences and how Native peoples are portrayed in the press. It's 800-642-1234, and Frank Vace-Villas is here for about 10 more minutes. Frank, I just absolutely loved and adored your Bucks basketball court story. Can you take us inside this reporting and what you found about the blessing and the prayers for this court?
Sure. The tribal officials that, they were kind of doing some PR about this, and the Bucks president, reached out and agreed with them that, that this flooring and the, the prayer and the blessing, most likely helped, to the Bucks winning the championship. And this wood from the tribal forest, this is a one of the most, native forests in the world, largely because it was speared from the waves of being cut 100 years ago for lumber, because tribal techniques is that they've have land management techniques that keep older trees, and they don't really just cut everything down, and they have a way to so their trees for the lumber are much older than some of the other basketball courts and harder, and they just believe that might have helped the Bucks at their home court, and just thought it was a but I just thought it was a great story.
Yeah, and it's so fascinating just learning that every piece of lumber is traced, is accounted for. I mean, just the care in how you harvest these trees is phenomenal.
Right. Yeah, just, you know, it's all carefully managed, all carefully tracked. And, you know, each tree is marked, you know, whether they're going to cut it down or not. No, they don't just go going through and just cut everything down. But yeah, these are, you know, 100-year-old pine trees, some of them, maple wood and other types of native trees to Wisconsin. But yeah, it's, you know, it's very great what they're doing up there.
Switching gears here, this summer you and the Green Bay Press Gazette started the First Nations Wisconsin newsletter. What is the goal of the newsletter?
Well, it's really to bring all of the issues of tribal nations in Wisconsin or the land now known as Wisconsin into one place, one newsletter. And I write a column for each week and link to some of the relevant stories. You know, some might be news from Indian country from that week, and some I might be linking to their, you know, certain themes, such as, you know, should Native Americans celebrate Independence Day? That was the theme of the first newsletter. And the goal is, you know, just to get people to sign up and, you know, just kind of understand that, you know, this is, you know, there's 12 tribal nations here in the land now known as Wisconsin, and that there, you know, these are issues affecting, you know, everything from, you know, sovereignty to mascots to, you know, just different in trying to reclaim the history as well, because there's a lot of.
Yeah, and certainly the pandemic has had an effect as well. What have you seen there?
Right. Well, tribal nations have at the beginning of COVID have, you know, had very stringent regulations trying to keep the virus out of the reservations. They've, you know, have strictly enforced mask mandates. You know, they've never really stopped their mask mandates, just because, you know, there's a lot of history with, you know, epidemics, and, you know, just killing massive amounts of ancestors and, you know, just bringing all that. And they're very careful with this, and it's affected economies and you know, as well.
Yeah.
And they're just
We're going to pause right here as we talk with Frank Vasevilis, who covers Native American issues in Wisconsin for the Green Bay Press Gazette, as he shares his reporting with us. And you can join in. What do you think? What Native issues should be covered? 800-642-1234. Marcus is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. Go ahead.
Hi. First, in case no one else is going to say it, I'd just like to say sorry for the way that Native peoples have been treated in this country and in Canada as well across. It's terrible. That being said, I think we should start paying more attention to what they've been doing, because they lived in peaceful harmony with the land for the last 100,000 years plus. And when they plan, they don't plan for themselves or for their kids. They plan 7 generations out, which is a whole different mindset for how to move forward. And we should start doing more of that in our society, because it'll take a lot of the greed out of it and start thinking like more sustainably.
Yeah, and certainly in the face of climate change, thinking about the future generations is so critical, Marcus. I don't know if Marcus is still there. Frank, can I get your thoughts there, what Marcus is saying about, you know, thinking so long-term, thinking about many future generations? I think we're having some technical difficulties here as we talk with Frank Vasevilis, who covers Native American issues in Wisconsin for the Green Bay Press Gazette. And he has started a newsletter, the First Nations Wisconsin newsletter, and covering Native issues very deeply. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Frank, are you still there?
Yes, I am here.
Hi, I'm sorry that we've had some technical difficulties here in hearing you, but Marcus had called in and said, first of all, so sorry about what Native Americans have endured through history, but also that we should learn about thinking for future generations.
Yes, it is. That is very important. Marcus mentioned thinking ahead for seven generations. We should always think about, our future generations and, not just living, for what we can have for ourselves today. But it is important to think about, our ancestors and our, people in the future as far as, creating a better world and trying to create a better world of nature for all of us.
I want to just circle back once again to the pandemic and what sacred powwows, the status of these powwows and how First Nations are scheduling, planning them. What have you heard?
Right. There are some virtual powwows now being planned. The Oneida Nation had to cancel their powwow for the end of August. It was scheduled to draw some 9,000 visitors for each of the 2 days. But yes, there's still a lot of concern about the Delta variant, and many powwows are being canceled, and there's an attempt to have them, online. So that's pretty much what's going on right now, as all major events are being postponed or canceled because of the Delta variant.
How have you seen vaccinations on reservations?
Well, it's very organized. The tribal health departments have been very organized about that. Reaching out to elders and younger people. There is some hesitancy early on because of distrust of the government. But there's been a lot of social media outreach and just tribal health departments just individually calling each tribal member, just making sure that everyone has the vaccine and it's been a pretty high vaccination rate among the tribes here in Wisconsin.
What issues are you hoping to cover in the future on this beat as you get more deeply into the beat now in your second year?
Sure. The recent issue is the wolf hunt. I know it's very important to many indigenous people. They're very much against, just hunting wolves and it's a very sacred animal. We have issues with oil pipelines and, the Enbridge Line 5 over Bad River Reservation. There's a lawsuit that the tribe is suing Enbridge to move the pipeline out of their reservation. Then, of course, there's the Indian boarding schools that the new Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, who's Indigenous herself, is making a review of because of what was, discovered, thousands of children, grave sites of thousands of children at these boarding schools. And there was several boarding schools here in Wisconsin as well that we would like to take more at the history and the long-lasting impact of and how it affects, future generations and that generational trauma that's still going on today. And then there's, of course, the epidemic of murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls, which is an issue we, are very much.
So many issues. Yeah. How often do you hear about Native Americans being harassed or threatened because of their ethnicity?
Well, that's very, it happens every year, especially with the spear fishing in northern Wisconsin, dating back to the Walleye Wars. It's not, there's, people still feel the same way about spear fishing, where Ojibwe people, they do have the right to hunt and spear fish off reservation. They're up there in the lakes before the regular fishing season starts. And there's, still a lot of people up in northern Wisconsin who aren't, very happy with that. They believe it's a special right or a special privilege when in fact it's actually U.S. law that was made. It's in exchange for the U.S. taking and still benefiting from the land that was taken from, the original inhabitants here.
And I think that circles back to what you said at the outset, that there is a lot of misunderstanding about sovereignty, what that means, about treaty rights, about what that means.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping this reporting can help bring to light. And when I'm hoping to talk about more in my newsletter, which people can sign up for at the Green Bay Press Gazette website, it's right on the front page, and people can sign up there and just keep this conversation going. And people, you know, are welcome to send me emails or give me a call for story ideas or any ideas that they think are important to for us to write about.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for joining us and for your reporting.
Sure. Thank you.
Frank Vaisvillas is the Native American Affairs reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette. He's a member of the Yaqui Indigenous People of Mexico, and we have a link to his reporting at WPR.org/mornings. Ahead this hour, the federal government and leading automakers want upwards of half of the vehicles sold in the U.S. to be electric by 2030. We look into the infrastructure for this transition. Will your household transition to an EV in the coming years? What will make that choice for you? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.